Many young immigrants around the country took a deep breath and relaxed for the first time in 4 years when Joe Biden won the election. The president-elect has already promised to extend DACA, the Obama-era program that has allowed young immigrants brought to the country illegally as children to stay and work in the United States. President Trump has spent years trying to overturn it, and for Reyna Montoya, it was a personal attack. She came to Arizona from Mexico with her family when she was a girl. She's now 29, a DACA recipient, and founder of the immigrant advocacy group Aliento. We met up to talk about the election outside a coffee shop in Phoenix.
So you've had about a week to process the results of this election. How are you feeling?
It's a lot of mixed emotions. Being here in Arizona, we led a huge campaign where we mobilized 25,000 young and Latinx voters. So definitely feel a lot of pride seeing the Latino and the Latinx voter turnout increase and also the young voter increase. So definitely I also feel relieved the fact that President-elect Biden is already making statements that he's going to reinstate the DACA program on day one. But also a lot of mix of emotions about if he's going to follow through with his commitment.
Yeah, so relief. And I'm sure that's quite a different feeling than you had, say, over the last 4 years when the Trump administration has tried very hard to erode those protections. How does it compare?
The past 4 years have been very difficult, especially as a DACA recipient. From the beginning of the administration, I remember there was a leak coming from the administration saying they were going to have the DACA program rescinded. I think it was early February of 2017. And then from there, it became all this litigation that, for me, what it meant as a DACA recipient was waking up constantly at 5 a.m. in the morning, having to check my Twitter, 9 p.m. on Fridays to see if he was going to drop another executive action, and then having to monitor the whole case from the lower courts all the way through the Supreme Court. So definitely it was a lot of stress to having to endure that. And even this year, that meant that now I have to renew my work permit every year instead of every 2 years.
And that was a result of the Supreme Court telling the Trump administration it couldn't end DACA. But then the Trump administration decided to force people like you to renew every single year, to make it more complicated.
That's 100% accurate.
Well, and so here you are in Arizona, in this surprise battleground state, a DACA recipient.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't vote in this election, although it sounds like it didn't stop you from being active in it. What was that experience like to turn this state blue?
I think for us, it has never been about turning the state blue or red. And maybe because I grew up in Arizona and Arizona is home, it's more about the policies and making sure that the people who have been marginalized for so long or people who feel that they don't have a voice like me because we don't have an opportunity to vote yet can still be part of the political process, because at the end of the day, whoever gets elected, it's going to impact our lives, from DACA to immigration to education. So for me, it was really important that we have young people being educated on the matter and that we're not saying that young people don't care or they're apathetic.
Do you feel like you made a difference, like you personally helped win this state?
I would definitely say that I made a lot of a difference. I talked to my cousin who was voting for the first time. She didn't even know how the ballot looked, and she was having all these questions like, what are propositions? What are school board elections? So I had to really break it down for her. I talked to a lot of my extended family that have an opportunity to vote. I talked to first-time voters. We actually ran a whole operation on election day and before that, but on election day, I still have the memory when I was preparing some of our young people to be trainers, and then they told me that in one of the phone banks, they talked to an 18-year-old who was going to be voting for the first time, and they said 2 hours before the polls closed, the voter didn't know that it was election day. Mm. So it's about getting young people to be educated on the matter and to make sure that they're exercising their power to vote, and then the work comes after.
In some ways, your journey really has just started. In other words, there's so much more to do that I'm sure you and your colleagues are going to be pressing the Biden administration for. What are you asking for? What do you need from the Biden administration?
We are hoping that on day one, he reinstates the DACA program, but that's the first step. We need to make sure that the younger dreamers who didn't qualify for DACA are able to have a pathway to citizenship. As we know, with this administration now more than ever, we were able to see that how fragile the program is. So we need a permanent solution. We need a pathway to citizenship for dreamers like me so we can live in peace. But also, as we're talking about COVID-19 and the recovery of the economy, we can't forget forget that the Latino community was disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. And we cannot forget that 17 million people across the nation were systematically excluded from economic relief of the CARES Act if they had a loved one who was undocumented. So definitely I want to make sure that we are going through a reconciliation process where immigrants are not taken for granted and we don't continue to be a talking point.
But what you didn't get is Congress, essentially. I mean, the House lost some Democrats in this election. We think the Senate didn't flip, depending on the outcome of the runoffs in Georgia. It's not going to be easy to get what you're asking for from the Biden administration. I mean, are you optimistic?
I'm cautiously optimistic,
really?
And I think that the problem here is that...
Because the gridlock is getting worse.
Yeah, it is getting worse, but that's the thing is, like, at this moment, immigration shouldn't be a red or blue issue. Then I think that this is a snapshot of what could happen. Are we really going to be able to craft solutions that are going to help us all as a nation, as Americans, or are we going to continue with the gridlock where we have Congress continue to not act and not to provide solutions?
The immigrant community was pretty tough on Barack Obama in his administration. Do you think if Joe Biden fails to get DACA, another immigration reform, through, that he's going to feel the criticism and the heat?
Definitely. It hasn't been about, as I said, Democrats or Republicans. It's who can deliver.
The other thing you're facing is that Donald Trump may have lost this election, but he hasn't conceded yet. And 71 million people voted for him. That's a lot of people. So how do you heal a country in a way that would allow those people to come together with Democrats? As you say it's not a blue or red issue, right? How do you get those 71 million people who ostensibly voted against people like you to come to the table and figure out that, you know, you're in the best interest of the country, in your opinion?
It's going to take a lot of tough conversations. I think that here in Arizona, we've been able to do a very good job about coming more to the center when we're seeing that running ultra-partisan campaigns don't work. If we look at the statewide elections, the way that Kyrsten Sinema or Mark Kelly ran their elections, it was about bringing people to the middle and making sure that we have solutions. And I think that that's what's going to have to happen at the Thanksgiving table, if COVID permits, you know, if people are gathering or maybe through Zoom calls or anything. We need to have those conversations about what's at stake, for us, and how do we focus on rebuilding our nation.
It's really interesting to hear you praise the idea of coming to the middle, because a lot of people in the progressive community, which includes a lot of immigrants and Latino voters, you know, would say, we don't need to go to the middle. No, we need to be as strong and as fierce as the right is. It sounds like you're saying the opposite.
I can definitely sympathize with that, and I would want everything that I want to be done, but I think that there's a different world when you're campaigning versus when you're governing. I think that if half of the population feel left out from the conversation, we need to dig deeper. This could not only be about Donald Trump and Biden. It has to be about us. It has to be about how do we make sure that we are leading with equity. And if we're systematically excluding a specific population, we're going to see it reflected from the education level. I get to see that only 22% of Latinos in the state of Arizona have higher education, some sort of higher education. And that is embarrassing.
In the meantime, I assume you feel like you can breathe for the first time in a while, because we know the Biden administration is going to be sympathetic to your cause. What is that like, to be able to breathe? How does that change your life?
I mean, honestly, on Saturday when I heard the news, I was sitting in my bed and I had my phone reading the news and my doggies were around me and I just started crying. And it wasn't because I was super excited about a Biden administration. It was that sense of relief that I felt that this big weight off my shoulders have been lifted. And it's sad to see that so much trauma that we have to endure from deportations of loved ones, to constantly living in fear that tomorrow can be the last day that I stay here in my beautiful Arizona. So definitely it's been very difficult, and it was just a huge sigh of relief.
Reyna Montoya, thank you for taking the time to meet me here. It is a beautiful November day in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.